The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. You know, as we've been going through the Holy Week and Easter time, I've been asking everybody to imagine what you would be feeling if you were in the particular place at that moment. And I'm wondering how the apostles felt when suddenly Jesus was in their midst. I don't think it was joy right away, because the last time they saw him, they had pretty much abandoned him and denied him, and they had watched a horrible death. And I'm sure there must have been a lot of guilt that they were feeling. I can only imagine what that must have felt like. The pain of that whole thing was only 2 or 3 days old, right? It was just a few days ago that all this happened. And so Jesus comes to them and he says, "Peace be with you." His first words, the words of forgiveness, the words given to them which are intended now to chart a new course in the life of this church. Today we hear the story of doubting Thomas. Now, first of all, I think he gets a bad reputation. Let's talk about how everyone in the room was having the same thoughts. It wasn't just Thomas. They all thought he was dead. They were all hiding. It says Thomas wasn't with them, but they were in hiding for fear of what could happen to them. The women had gone out to anoint a corpse, not to find an empty tomb. We can look back on this from our perspective, think, oh, they just went to discover the tomb was empty. They were going with the spices that were needed to kind of prepare a body after the person had died. They couldn't do it because of the Sabbath. Now the Sabbath was over, and they're at the tomb. There were disciples who were leaving for Emmaus, dejected, who were saying, "We were hoping that he was the one." And Thomas doesn't believe the apostles or the women's testimony either. So there's a lot of this at this particular moment when Jesus appears. So what I want to say first is something I often tell people in confession. People confess doubts a lot. And I want to say that faith is not canceled out by doubt. Faith is a belief in something based on a belief of a person giving witness or testimony. We use that word believe so easily today. But it always has to involve the credibility of a person behind whatever it is, the article of faith. It's not just the thing itself. It's always the person who gives witness or testimony. And I would even go further to say that if there is no doubt, then can faith be faith? Because faith is a belief in that which is not certain. So there's got to be some component of doubt if we are believers. Otherwise, we are confronted, and this is where the modern world has gone off track. Otherwise, we are confronted with this problem of faith versus fact. It becomes faith versus science. But doesn't science exist because we have questions that are seeking understanding? So really, isn't science just a tool that we use as best we can to try to discover what faith is about? It's not there to replace it. It's actually a process that we as human beings have in order to seek the truth. So I would ask you again, could Thomas have had such a profound profession of faith in the divinity of Jesus, my Lord and my God, he says? Could he have found such a profound profession of faith in the divinity of Jesus in the process, if his process of questioning had not been equally intense? It's a process. So Jesus says, put your hand into my side, put your fingers into the wounds in my hands. It doesn't say that he actually does. So I don't know. Do you think Thomas did touch Jesus? Or do you think Jesus touched him? In this particular moment, I would say it was Thomas who was touched, who was changed. And Jesus says to him, you believed because you can see me. Blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. This is like a beatitude from the Gospel of Matthew. These are the beatitudes of the Gospel of John. There are two of them. This is the final beatitude in the entire Gospels, the final one. But there is a second beatitude in John's Gospel, which happens at the Last Supper. After washing their feet, Jesus tells them they are blessed if they do this. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do this. So this process I'm talking about begins with doubt. It becomes faith, which becomes blessing. God takes our doubts and transforms them into blessing. Doubt is actually a very fertile soil in which God goes to work. I spent the whole day yesterday with my friends, my Vaishnava Hindu friends. We were in a dialogue. This is the first time we've had an in-person dialogue in 3 years. And we were talking about why we get together for dialogue. And I said to them, I said, there's something particularly unique about the way in which our hearts relate with God that is uniquely human. It's not different for a Hindu or a Catholic or a Buddhist or a Muslim. There's a way in which all of us are kind of wired to be in relationship with the divine. And when we get together and we talk about these things, I find it to be very enriching. It's a kind of human holiness that we're all seeking, each in different ways, but it is authentic holiness as people approach the divine through what their tradition teaches them. One of the Hindus in the dialogue spoke about how they saw this holiness in Pope Francis, when on Holy Thursday he washed the feet of a Muslim woman in prison. Holiness is a reason that we enter into relationship with dialogue with one another. Because in dialogue we're able to take our doubts, we're able to express our faith, and we're able to find blessing. So these are the signs of the newborn church that we see in the gospel today. Jesus comes to them. He says, peace be with you. Their fearfulness becomes fearlessness. There's no longer need for anxiety. He shows them his hands and his side, the marks of his suffering humanity. This particular mark of the early church is a constantly renewed faith. He sends them forth. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. You and I are commissioned to go and do the work of God, to provide that healing touch that Jesus gave to Thomas, that we see Peter giving to people in the reading today. Finally, he says, receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. This is the Pentecost moment in the Gospel of John. It is this power of forgiveness which I believe is perhaps the most merciful and powerful ability that God gives to his church. And up until this moment, when Jesus appears to his apostles in the locked room, these have only been concepts. But now they become realities.